Adam Pengilly, a very good morning to you, mate.
Morning, Middo. Morning, boys. What do you do, Loz, if you lost the coin toss? Do you just, like, bail on the whole afternoon? Or
yeah.
How do you...
Oh, no, I become a bit angry.
No, then you go, I'll drive up, you drive
yeah,
back.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I get my way around it.
Yeah. Smart player. Played with plenty of experience.
Yeah, and Bradley's that nice. He's just the nicest bloke. He just will accept whatever. Loves it.
Yeah. He was a phenomenal player, wasn't he, Loz, back in the day? Jeez, he was a good player back in his heyday.
Adam, I could talk about Bradley Clyde. I reckon I'd have a man crush on Bradley if people heard me talk about the way he played.
I've always been consistent on that.
Oh, mate. He's one of the greatest I've ever... Well, you know, I think people know what I think of Bradley Clyde and how he played football.
Okay, well, speaking of football, what a game last night. Wild game. Melbourne 34-32 over the Brisbane Broncos, Adam.
Geez, I really enjoyed that game last night, Middo. Probably some questionable defence at times, but geez, some of the attacking flair on display was just brilliant. Some of the tries that both teams scored was just mesmerising. Probably an early contender for game of the season, to be fair. I know it's got a long way to go, but that was two teams who you'd suspect are going to go deep into this competition, really showing what they're made of. Obviously, the big news out of the game, and you guys have touched on it this morning, is Adam Reynolds' hamstring injury. That's a blow for the Broncos because you wouldn't think he's going to be playing for at least a few weeks, and coming back from any hamstring injury, particularly at his age, is quite difficult. So, I don't know where you guys sit with the Broncos at the moment because they've had a bit of a sluggish start to the year. I'm not quite sure whether it's a bit of a hangover from the grand final last year or whether it's the Vegas trip, but to start the year 2-3, we have a couple of obviously tricky games coming up in the next month or so. I think we've obviously got the Dolphins next week, which would be a tough game in the Derby, and sort of the not too distant future, we've got the Roosters and Parramatta and Manly sort of back to back to back. So it's not panic stations for the Broncos yet, but I think it's fair to say they would have liked to have had maybe one or two more wins under their belt at this point of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. But one thing I know with the Broncos, from what they were able to do last year, and I know it's a different side, but they've still got potency in their attack and they're still able to score points. So as long as they make the finals and have their best players available, I think they can beat anyone on their day. On their day, I think they can beat
even
anyone. Because when they click, that they can score points. And, you know, man was good last night. You know, throw Reece Walsh back in the team, Reynolds, Staggs, Cobbo. Mariner's a good player. Mariner reminds me of Val Holmes, a young Val Holmes. Okay. He's going to be a good player. But I spoke about this with Grubby this morning. Even though Melbourne, this is a ridiculous statement, Melbourne scored 34 points last night, I still don't know whether they're anywhere near... when I see 34 points, you go, well, you know, obviously their attack must have been very good, but I don't think they're anywhere near their capabilities with the football at the moment, Melbourne. I think they still look a little bit rusty.
I'd agree, Loz. And what about the stat they were throwing around last night? It was the first time I think their first choice spine of Pappenhausen, Munster, Hughes and Grant had played together in the same game since, was it round 18, 2022? We talk about Melbourne having the best fight in the competition when those guys are fit. They haven't played with each other in the same game for over 18 months. It's crazy when you think about it. So just fingers crossed they can keep those guys in the park. Because if they do, they'll obviously improve. But I do tend to agree with you, Loz. There are times and patches in games where I think, I'm not quite sure whether they're on the same page here in attack. But they still managed to reel off 34 points. And I suppose when you got the aerial capacity of a guy like Xavier Coates and individual brilliance of guys like Brandt and Munster, you're going to be able to score points. But as a team, it's just not quite 100% clicking for me at the moment.
I think, boys, we've got to remember with Melbourne, Jerome Hughes has been suspended for a game and also injured for a game. And Munster hasn't played till last night. So I think that's maybe why the clunkiness, their first game together.
I think you're right, but I think I didn't know that stat that you just mentioned there before, Adam. And that makes sense because even last year I'm still wasn't convinced with Melbourne's attack and I'm like, something's missing. And I know that Pappenhausen was out, but I don't know, there was just something about them in the start of the year, I just watching them thinking, geez, they're not clicking. But mate, that makes total sense now when they haven't played together, their spine, because we know how important spines are in a footy team. What about the drama coming out of, well, I don't know whether you call it drama, but the stories coming out of the Dragons surrounding Zach Lomax, likely going to Parramatta. And we're reading today that Ben Hunt, he wants to re-sign or could re-sign with the club.
Yeah, it all sort of stems from Shane Flanagan's press conference yesterday, Eloise. He was obviously naturally asked about Zach Lomax, and he was pretty fired up yesterday, Flano. He was on the front foot straight away saying, you know what, we just can't have players at this club who don't want to be here. Zach's told them numerous times he doesn't want to be here. I'm led to believe he's asked the club for a release at least four or five times, put in an official release request. And that's just not this pre-season. That's dating back to the previous tenure under Anthony Griffin. And I think he's just worn the Dragons down. They just had enough and said, you know what, move on. We need to go into a new era here. We need guys who are completely committed to the cause. And I suppose the bonus is they're going to get $800,000 a year back in their salary cap from next season. So at this stage, I think all roads lead to Parramatta, Loz. I had a story in the Herald today quoting Brad Arthur about it, saying he had a meeting with him on Wednesday night at his home. He was very impressed by Zach Lomax. They've agreed out of respect to both the Dragons and obviously the Eels to put off any more further talks until next week. They'll resume it again next week. But I think at this stage, he'll be ending up at Parramatta. And they'll want to do that deal fairly quickly as well, because as it stands at the moment, Zach doesn't have a contract for next year, right? So he's still playing games at the moment. Obviously, every time you step onto a football field, there's a risk of an injury or a long-term injury. So I don't think his management or the Eels will muck around too much next week. They'll get down to business and talking turkey with terms and conditions. And I'd imagine we'll get some news probably at some stage next week.
I agree with Flano, boys. If you don't want to be there, get rid of him. Like, I get it. You need to get... You've got to think about the club and, you know, get a sufficient player back. On that note, Adam, do we know who they might... If it is a player swap, who they might get from Para, if it is Para, or you think they're just going to take the 800?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a player swap, Josh. Definitely not at this stage, right? So I reckon this is how we'll play out. Parramatta will obviously try to sign into a long-term deal next week from 2025 onwards. They'll let the dust settle for a little while, and then if things sort of heading in the direction that they might think they're heading, where, i.e. they're in contention for the finals later this year, maybe the Dragons are, then they'll press for him to make an early switch later this year. But as it stands at the moment, like, Parramatta are not going to offer anything to the Dragons that they want. The Dragons will want one of their top five or six players. You're talking guys like Moses Brown, Campbell Gillard, Paulo, Tennessini. Parramatta's not going to offer up any of those guys. So at the moment, I just think he'll sign a deal from 2025 onwards, and then we'll see how it plays out in the next couple of months.
Okay, racing. Where are you looking? Which horses have got the flippers on the best?
Yeah, well, Mido, I think just naturally for me, I sort of gravitated to Stockman, race two, number two Stockman, as one of the better bets on the program. We know he's a swimmer. Is he in the greatest form at the moment? Yeah, it's probably debatable, but he'll get through the wet going. He's a genuine two-mile horse, so getting over 2,600 metres in the Chairman's quality, I don't think there'd be any issue for him. So I just think that's a natural play earlier in the day. So it's race two, number two, Stockman. And later in the day, I sort of flagged this, I think it was yesterday, Mido, race seven, number 11, Sunshine in Paris, yeah, in the TJ Smith Stakes.
I'm with you.
I know she might not quite have the race fitness on her side. She only had one start this preparation, but I just reckon our sprint ranks are right for the picking at the moment. I'm not completely convinced about Imperatrice at the moment. I wish I was preparation being first up in the TJ. It's got me leaving, feeling a little bit cold about him. She's the horse with plenty of upside. I've gone fishing for some different forms, so I'll stick with her. Race two, number two, Stockman, and race seven, number 11, Sunshine in Paris. My two bets at Randwick tomorrow.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, there's been good support for Stockman as well in the second. I believe you like the Dragons at the plus tonight. You got some footy bets for us as
well. Yeah, I just think it's going to be tough for Newcastle tonight. You know, they're coming back from New Zealand on a five-day turnaround. The Dragons were a big price earlier this week. I think they've shortened up a little bit, but they're plus 5.5 in very wet conditions tonight. I think there's an appetite there. South Warriors tomorrow, I think both teams have shown they don't have a whole lot of points in them so far this year, and particularly Warriors have been really good defensively. So I think the under 39.5 in the wet conditions is a nice, attractive bet. And Seb Chris to score any time against Parramatta on Sunday night. I think Parramatta's got some issues on their right side defence. I think Seb Chris on the left there can maybe get over for a try. So they're my three NRL bets for the weekend.
Love it, mate. You have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
See you, boys. Enjoy the racing tomorrow.